Good evening. I titled my message tonight, "These Are My People." Hebrews 2, 11 through 13 says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of thy church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." I'm going to say something that might sound a little bit off the wall. Hear me out. What I hope to do tonight is create a little bit of pride among us. How's that make you feel? Maybe some of you are saying, I'm already there. I'd like to ask you to stand and say hi to some people around you. And I would like for you to notice, look around. You can stay standing so that you can look around comfortably. But I would like for us just to look around at each other a little bit tonight. And I would like for you to think about what you see. What are your feelings about the people that you see? Amen. Imagine that you're in a prison somewhere, arrested for your faith. Which one of these faces would you not want to see show up to visit you? These are your people. When your family has forsaken you, they'll be there. When times are tough, it's this group that's going to help you out. They're not perfect, but they're going to be one of these days. Are you proud of them? Can they be proud of you? You may be seated. Thank you. First Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou dost not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture tonight. I've tried to make it as readable as possible on the screen. Some of it kind of got small. I think most of you can read that. 1 John 4, 7 through 21. And rather than reading down through it and then talking, I think I'm going to comment as we go. And what I want for us to think about tonight is that we are taking communion and we are identifying with Christ in His death, but we are also identifying with each other. I acknowledge you as a brother in Christ. I am not ashamed to call you brethren. I agree to who you are. I accept you as you are. I acknowledge that as a son of God, as a child of God, you are my brother. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Another aspect that I want us to think about as we go here is that I'll be reading some verses later showing us, but the fact that I think sometimes we can feel like we're the oddballs, we're the minority And as long as we are Christians, we will be the minority until the Lord comes back. But I want us to realize that as Christians, we are part of a kingdom. And this is a kingdom that will stand forever. This is not a kingdom to be ashamed of. It's one to, and again, I want to be careful how I use that word pride. It's not anything that I've done or that you've done. It's all because of Him. But in the same way that I can be proud of my child for an accomplishment he makes without having wrong feelings of pride, I think we can be proud to be associated with each other and be proud to be called Christians. Again, not because of anything we've done, but because of what our hero and leader, Jesus Christ, has done. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. It's not amazing that we love God. He deserves love. The amazing thing is that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. How do we know that we dwell in Him? Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. That word, because there is no fear in love, no fear. When I trust my Father and I know He loves me, that removes the fear. Paul said we can come before the throne of grace boldly. And that's not because we no longer reverence God. That's not because we no longer respect the position. But there's been a connection made there through Jesus Christ that takes the fear away and replaces it with love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother. That word hateth is an interesting word. That doesn't necessarily mean hate like we would think of as hate. It can, but it also can mean love less. If I love you less than I ought to. If a man say, I love God, and love his brother less than he ought, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? If we go back to what I read in 1 Corinthians, if you have it, you've received it. If your brother has it or doesn't have it, he's received it or not received it. If I love God, I love those who he made. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Let's go to Romans 8, 14 through 23, and then I'm going to jump down to 35 through 39. And again, what I'm trying to do here is build a case for us to appreciate the love that we have, and the reason that we have that love is because of Jesus Christ that unifies. He is the common denominator that we all gather around, that brings us together. And that's what makes us kin. That's what makes us brothers and sisters. Romans 8, 14 through 23. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Again, now I want to bring your mind back to the idea that we have been brought into this kingdom. We've been adopted into this family. We are children of God if we have made Jesus our Savior. The Spirit itself, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That word adoption in verse 15 is, it's special that He calls us, that He adopts us. He makes us children. You know, if you have a family where there are biological children and adopted children, they don't stay segregated. They don't put the biological children in one room and the adopted children in another, or make them eat separate. They all are considered children of the father and mother. The adopted children don't have to play second fiddle. They're not second class. They don't come and say, "Can I eat supper tonight?" They're children. Of course they can eat. They are part of the family. We are children of God. We have been adopted into the family of God. We are the children of God, verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Again, thinking of an adopted son or daughter, you don't have them cut out of the will because they're not biological children. They all get an equal, when it's done right, they all will get an equal share. The adopted children become joint heirs with the biological children. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. I've shared this before, but I think I'm going to share it again. Just the idea of what we can think of, what we can expect when we get to heaven. When He says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Now, I don't want to for a minute take away from the glory of Jesus. And that's what heaven is centered around, is Him and His throne. But to think that when He rose through the clouds and went to His Father, and imagine the welcome that He would have received. We have no problem imagining that. We have no problem believing that when Jesus got there, everyone was excited to see Him. Everyone, it was big news. Jesus has returned. And then when we think about our homecoming, we wonder if we'll be welcome. We're not going because of who we are. We're going because of Him. And if they were willing to welcome Him, they're going to be welcoming us as long as we have made Him our salvation. I like the illustration of, you know, if you're going to go to some popular person or somebody that's well known or something, and you just go up and try to knock on the door, you're not going to get in. There's bodyguards, there's security, there's whatever. But if you happen to be in school with his son, and you're good friends with his son, and you walk up to that gate with his son, and the son says, "He's with me," you're not going to have any problem. And the same with us. If when I stand before God, I stand there, and Jesus says, "He's with me," we don't have to worry about whether we'll be welcome or not. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that word creature is referring to the creation, the world, everything around us that's not us, that's not human. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's us. Again, thinking about who we are. We're part of a kingdom that is going to be manifested shortly. And the creature, the creation, waits for our manifestation, the manifestation, the showing forth of the sons of God. For the creature, the creation, the world, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself, again, that's the creation, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, God said, cursed be the ground for your sake. The creature was not, the creation was placed into corruption, was, it says, delivered from the bondage. It was delivered into bondage of corruption when man sinned. When man is redeemed, when the sons of God are manifest, the bondage of corruption will also be the creation will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And then going down to verse 35 in Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? These things are going to be very real in our lives shortly, I believe. I believe that the way things are going, the signs of the times tell us we will be facing persecution sooner rather than later, I believe. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like the old song, I've read the back of the book and we win. I'm glad to be part of the family of God. John 17 is another passage I'd like to read. This is where Jesus is praying for his disciples. And one of the lines in here is he says that I'm not praying only for these, but also for those who will believe because of what they teach. So that is us. So he is praying this prayer for us. John 17, starting at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Jesus is talking to God, saying, I'm leaving the world. I'm not going to be here anymore, but these are. And he's talking about his disciples. These are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And that's what I want us to focus on this section of Scripture, is the idea of us being one as the Father is one. When I look around, do I have a love for my brethren? Is there a certain sense of pride? These are my people. These are the people that I associate with. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Again, saying that we're going to be hated. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Lynn talked this morning about being in the word. Am I being sanctified by the word? As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. This is where he talks about us specifically. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The more we are one in Jesus, the more clear it becomes to the world that Jesus is from the Lord, is from God. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Notice how often Jesus prays, his desire for us is that we be one, that we be unified, that we be, maybe one is the best word, that we be together in purpose and vision. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. Can you imagine your son or daughter saying, can I bring my friend home? I want them to be with me. Jesus said, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. We are part of the body of Christ. We are, I believe that the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, goes around the globe. All believers are part of the body of Christ. This particular group of people is a part of the larger body. We're not superior to the next church. That's not at all what I'm saying about being proud. What I'm saying is that I believe this is where I have been placed by God. This is where I believe you have been placed by God. When Paul talks about the gifts, he says that God has set the pieces in the body as he saw fit. God put you where you're at for a purpose. I think we can be glad to be part of the body of Christ here at Calvary Chapel. Matthew 13 talks a little bit about our future. As therefore the tares are gathered, verse 40. Matthew 13, 40 through 43. Jesus taught, this is the parable about the tares being sowed by the enemy in the field. And they said, should we go and take the tares out? And he said, no, if you do that, you'll destroy the crops. But then he says, later on, they'll harvest everything together and they'll throw the tares into the fire and harvest the crops. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. That's the group you will not want to be part of. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I don't know exactly what this means, what that means when it says they will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. There's differing opinions on what that actually, what the literal meaning is there. But either way, whatever it means, in the end, wherever that kingdom is, whatever God has in store for us, the righteous will be the ones who shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. And all other kingdoms will be destroyed. and we will be glad to cast our lot with the righteous who shine forth. First Corinthians 15:58. Thinking about our reward, thinking about what it means to be part of the kingdom of God, what it means to be part of a group of believers who follow the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Tonight I want to bless and honor you as the people of God. Again, we are a small, very small fraction of the body of Christ, but we are a part of the body of Christ. And I want to bless and honor you as that. And in saying that, I want to say also that I am blessed and honored to identify with you in the remembering of our Savior who brought us life. Remembering His death, remembering His sacrifice, remembering what He did for us in order to bring us together, that we could be one in the Lord. You are my people, and I'm proud of it. I love you all. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your gift. First of all, Lord, you gave your life. You gave up your place in heaven. You gave up your throne, your rightful place of dominion and judgment and wrath. You gave up all that to become a man. And not just a man, but a servant. You became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for giving us life through your death. Thank you, Lord, that we can identify with you as sons of God, as brothers and sisters in the same family. Give us, Lord, an appreciation for each other. An appreciation of the blessing that it is to know Christian brothers and sisters. Give us a real love for each other. Make us one as you and the Father are one. Lord, that our oneness would be a testimony to those around us. We thank you. We bless you. We just want to commit ourselves to you all over again. Pray your blessing on each one here. Or that we could just give it all we got, live for you, not be ashamed of who we are. We thank you. We bless you. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.